creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
On this episode of Culture Click, we continue our coverage of the Winona County Historical Society's annual Voices from the Past Cemetery Walk. The walk is an educational performance that takes place every year in beautiful Woodlawn Cemetery and highlights the individuals from Winona's past. This year's theme was entitled, The Street Where You Live. Actors brought to life people behind Winona's street names. Your host for the walk is Al Pafrath, who portrays Edie Williams, the president of Woodlawn Cemetery during its first decade. He will guide you through the origins of Cummings, Vila, Gould, and Hamilton streets. I'm Terry Tensett, inviting you to join us on our tour of Winona's past on Culture Click.
By the way, does anybody know, you probably have heard this before, how the living room got its name, how it became known as the living room?
No.
At one time, up until probably the early 1900s, possibly the late 1800s, the front room of a house was called the parlor, and it was also called the death room, because when somebody died, this is before mortuaries really existed, when someone had died, they would be on display, basically, or where you could visit them in the parlor and the front room, and it was also called the death room. After funeral homes became more popular and people got away from that particular tradition, they didn't want that room associated with death anymore. So they started calling it the living room, and that's how they came about. Yep. Site 5 is three streets. They're all together, and they're all adjacent in the West End, and that's Cummings, Vila, and Gould.
Well, imagine we're at Woodlawn Cemetery, so I can begin. Ah, Woodlawn Cemetery, what a beautiful place to enjoy eternity. And I'm proud to say I served on the cemetery board, and now we need you to help preserve it for the years to come. I'm Isaac Cummings, IB, by the way, and this is my final resting place. Perhaps you've heard of Cummings, Vila, or Gould streets on the west end of town. Well, here to help me present how those streets got their names are Mrs. Walter K. Vila. Vila Street is just to the west of Cummings Street, and the Honorable Judge Osro B. Gould. Gould Street is just to the west of Vila.
How fitting, IB, that your street is the furthest east and mine the furthest west. You starting out life the furthest east in Maine and me the furthest west in Ontario, Canada. And you and your husband were also from out east, weren't you, Mrs. Vila?
Yes, my Walter. Walter Kistridge Foster Vila was his full name. He was born and raised just outside of Boston. I'm a Massachusetts native myself, Mary Jane Goddard, from Plymouth, Massachusetts. You know Plymouth, the Mayflower and the Pilgrims.
Well, Judge, Mary Jane, perhaps we should tell these folks how we came to be Winonans and how our lives were interconnected. As you had said, I started out east in Maine. At the age of 20, I signed on to a whaling ship. That was in 1851, the same year Herman Melville wrote his great whaling novel, Moby Dick.
And that's where you met Walter. You and Walter were cabin mates.
Yes, Walter and I were shipmates and boon companions for the 4 years we were at sea. You'd call us BFFs today. We hunted whale all over the globe. Walter was just 17 years old when he signed on. And all over the globe, we hunted whale for its oil, which was used in our lanterns back in those days. And then in 1855, we gave up sea life, and I headed to California. It was the gold rush, and I was going to strike it rich.
So did Walter join you on that adventure, IB?
No, he did not. He settled in Boston, got a job, and got married. Sadly, his wife died after a few years. So, and unfortunately for me, I didn't strike it rich in California. I kind of struck out. So in 1859, I packed up my gear and headed to the newly founded town of Winona. Then I settled down and got married to
my oldest sister, Carolyn Goddard. That was in 1860. You started a grocery business, and you invited your best friend, Walter, to come join you there. Now, my sister Carolyn, she'd grown up and spent all her life out east. She was pretty frightened and unsure about this new place, Winona, and what her future would hold.
Yes, my dear. In 1860, we were all very frightened and unsure what the future would hold. The country was falling apart, with the South threatening to secede from the Union. Then the South attacked Fort Sumter in the spring of 1861, and the Civil War had begun on my 21st birthday. My father had died when I was just 5 years old. My mother left Canada and returned the family to Ohio. She died a few years later. So at 15, I was on my own working various jobs until I joined the Ohio 55th Infantry.
Oh, Judge, you are too modest. I know that you fought in the Second Battle of Bull Run and that you were wounded in Chancellorsville. And then after you healed, you went on and continued fighting under General William Tecumseh Sherman as he broke the back of the South with his march to the sea. My Walter, though, he stayed in Winona and managed the grocery store. Then, in 1862, you bought a shoemaking business, I.B., and you invited Walter to join you, Cummings and Vila Shoes. It was the beginnings of a very profitable 30-year venture for both of you.
Yes, Walter and I were like peas and carrots. I couldn't make a move without him. But he was still sad about his wife dying, but he was totally smitten when he met Mary Jane. And Mary Jane's older sister was really happy to have her kid sister in town with her. So two sisters married to two best friends.
Walter and I were married in 1865. The marriage was blessed with four sons. Sadly, Willie, though, our first, didn't live to see his first birthday. He died in 1867.
I'm so very sorry, Mary Jane. Infant deaths were a constant occurrence in those days. You know, it was also in 1867 when I came to Winona. After the war, I got my law degree and came to Winona to start a solo law practice. But a few years later, I partnered up with A.H. Snow.
Oh, Osro, once again, you are being too modest. You were influential in setting up a home for war orphans. Tell the folks here how you became judge.
Well, I was just in the right place at the right time, I.B. After practicing law for many years, I got involved with the local politics, and I served several terms in the state legislature beginning in 1880. I worked very closely with the governor, and he appointed me judge of the 3rd Judicial District. I served on the bench for many years until I was defeated in re-election by none other than my former law partner, A.H. Snow. But after I'd married late in life, that meant that I was able to spend more time with my family and get more involved with local businesses, including many business ventures with both you and your Walter.
One of those ventures was a housing development on the west end of Winona, commonly referred to as the Cummings, Vila, and Gould editions. We made great money back in those days, Judge. And Winona was a growing community, and it needed houses, and that's what we built. Then in 1893, I died, leaving a sizable estate and a very public and nasty fight for my money.
Are you referring to the contesting of my sister Carolyn's estate?
Well, you know Carolyn and I didn't have any children of our own. So when my brother's wife died, we took in his twin sons, Herbert and Frank, into our home. And I promised my brother that my will, his boys, would be the inheritors of my estate in my will.
Well, and then what happened after that?
Well, on my death, I instructed Caroline to give the boys some money and the estate would pass on to her. Then at her death, the estate was supposed to pass on to the boys in her will. Fast forward 10 years to 1903 and Carolyn dies without writing that will, or any will for that matter.
And since I do know the law, if someone passes away without a will, that means that their estate must be divided amongst their closest living blood relatives, which in your wife's case would have been her brothers and sisters.
IB, the coming boys were no closer to you than my sons. They were all just nephews. Why should they get all the money? Herbert and Frank both died of tuberculosis, 6 months on either side of Carolyn. They couldn't have used the inheritance.
No, that's true, but when the Goddard family found out that there was money on the table and there were a good collection of them, they started crawling out of the woodwork looking for the money.
And with Herbert and Frank dead, I imagine that meant that their closest relatives came looking for their rightful inheritance also. What a nightmare. I'm sure it kept a lot of lawyers busy for a long time.
Yes, it did, Judge. Yes, it did. At one time, there were as many as 16 plaintiffs and defendants. It tied up the court for years. Ultimately, the third district judge made a rather Solomon-like decision. Half the money would go to the Goddard family, and half the money would go to the Cummings family. The judge in that case was your former law partner, the Honorable A.H. Snow.
Kind of makes me glad I lost that election after all. I sure wouldn't have wanted to decide that case. But it does teach us something, though. If it does pertain to the law, always get it in writing.
Gentlemen, let's get back to the reason we're here and our real legacy to Winona. We worked very hard to make Winona a wonderful place to live and to raise families. We should feel honored that we have streets that bear our names.
This little story happened when I was at Woodlawn Cemetery, and it was related to me by a minister who was doing a service down here, a burial service, but he had done one in the Twin Cities sometime before that. And it was in the wintertime. It was in a Twin City cemetery, and they did the service at an outlying building from the main office. One whole side of this building was glass. And also, there was going to be an honor guard. So they were going to have a gun salute, you know, after the service or during the service. When it came time for that, Legionnaires or VFW, who was ever outside, they were lined up outside of that glass window, facing in. And it came time for that. Everybody turned around, and their attention was directed to this. They gave the gun salute. Started an avalanche of snow off the roof, and it came down and covered all of them. And I've told this story before. I don't know if I did this last year or not, but and they stood there like this, you know, totally covered with snow. So we have two sites left, and the next one is site six, which is Hamilton Street.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Catherine McClure Fruit Goddard Smith. And thanks to my parents and my marriages, that's quite a name, isn't it?
Yes. And that may be part of the reason why folks in Winona affectionately refer to you as simply Aunt Catherine.
Thank you, Jeanette. This is Jeanette Hamilton, the wife of the Reverend Hiram Hamilton. Reverend Hamilton was responsible for many of the earliest sermons in Winona. And this gentleman to my left is Mr. Edwin Hamilton. He was one of the earliest settlers in the Winona area, arriving around November of 1851.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad you're here this evening. And I want to set the record straight. Mrs. Hamilton and I are not related.
They don't even like each other.
How do you do, folks? My husband and our son, Charlie, came to Winona in June of 1852 and sent for me and my younger son, Eugene, a few months later. My husband was a reverend in Dubuque, and we came here for his health. He had throat trouble, you know. On the boat ride here, he and Charlie overheard passengers talking about sites for founding a city. One man commented this looked like a nice place to build a town, but that he had traveled over the highest point on Wabasha Prairie in a boat. You know, the flooding we get. Well, my husband removed his hat, stepped up and said, "Excuse me, sir, but might your name be Noah? There's no record anyone has traveled over that prairie in a boat since the days of that ancient navigator of the deep." The man was forced to retreat and miss the laughter of the amused crowd of passengers.
I'll tell you, that Reverend Hiram Hamilton had a way with words.
And Catherine came to Winona a few months before me in May of 1852. Poor Catherine, back east, you lost 4 young children in just 4 short weeks to scarlet fever. After arriving here, she lost her Abner and another 2 of her 7 children to malaria.
It was very difficult, Jeanette. Fortunately, I was able to support myself and my one surviving son, Charlie, by running a boarding house. And I also asked my half-brother, John Laird, to come up from La Crosse and help me out, and he did.
Indeed. Your boarding house was more than a boarding house. It was a school, it was a church, and it was a hospital, too.
And I had the privilege of naming one of Winona's first streets. I called it Walnut Street because of all of the magnificent walnut trees that lined the street. Nowadays, it's still a north-south street. It's about 4 blocks away from what you people call Winona State University.
And Hamilton Street is named after my husband, the Reverend Hiram Sumner Hamilton.
Oh, wait a minute. That's why I came by here today. Mrs. Hamilton, I knew you'd make that claim. Hamilton Street is named after me, Edwin Hamilton.
Why, Mr. Hamilton, how can you say that? My husband was a most esteemed member of this community.
Well, I came here a good 7 months before he came here. I came up on the steamer Excelsior with Edwin Clark and Mr. Stevens. We came up here to stake our claim. The following spring, Dr. Belcom and myself and my gray mare, we went out looking for some land. We went out west by St. Charles, out past the present county limits. We were the first Winonans in this area. We went state our claim up to High Forest.
And we have a street by that name too, I believe.
Yes.
High Forest. You know, Mr. Hamilton, I remember that you had many scouting abilities, but I also remember that you were a magnificent cook. In fact, that first winter you were here, you were just here like a month and a half before the holidays. And you fixed Christmas dinner for all 6 of the men who were wintering in Winona that year. All 6 of them. Including you. The following year, we had a few more people move into the area, and I can remember that you actually helped me fix Christmas dinner for the whole town.
Yes, indeed. I cooked one mean roasted coon.
Well, you and about 3 or 4 others also did build a fine bridge over Gilmore Valley Creek.
Well, yes, we did. Thank you. Yes, it was 1853. I had claim number 5, and I sold a third of it to Dr. Belcom and a third of it to a Mark Howard. I believe you have Mark Howard streets here, too. I sold the claim for $200. I got $66.66 from both of them. And I decided to buy Belcom's back a year later and pay 10 times that amount. Mark Howard sold his for a profit. He sold it to Henry Huff. I think you have a Huff Street here. And you have the Huff Lamerton House.
Well, my husband had claim number 2.
Mrs. Hamilton, do you really want to go there? You got that claim from your son Charlie's conniving ways.
You know, I actually tried to convince Mr. Nash not to sell his claim until he had cash money in hand. But did he listen to me? Oh, no, he didn't listen to me. I don't think that man thought a woman had a brain cell in her head.
Well, I agree. Nash did agree with Charlie. Charlie talked him into forming a protection company, and they decided to, so Nash signed his rights away for claim number two. Well, no corporation formed a year later, and Charlie and Eugene moved into claim number two for squatter's rights.
Well, the interesting thing is that the Reverend Hiram Hamilton never suffered any ill effects of that whole mess. He kept his fine reputation as an outstanding preacher here in town, and he was very influential in establishing the Congregational Church here in Winona. I can remember that he and Elder Ely used to alternate Sundays for their sermons.
He helped establish a moral restraint on this untamed prairie.
Mrs. Hamilton, he couldn't even control his own son, Charles.
Now, you'll have to admit, Jeanette, your Charlie was very inconsiderate and reckless, even though he was a dashing lad.
Well, Charlie was just high-spirited, a good boy at heart, really. But one of the reasons we came here was to withdraw him from the evil influences of young America in Dubuque.
And how did that work out for you?
Now, Jeanette, your Charlie had a very impulsive nature. Very.
Impulsive? The boy nearly started an Indian war. In 1853, some Winnebago's Indians were camped out on Trempealeau Bottom. They decided to come up to Winona to sell furs and venison, and they stopped by the Hamilton place to ask permission to sharpen their knives. Charlie gave the permission to go ahead and do their work. The Indians finished their work. They left, were walking across the ice back to their camp. Charlie pulls out a gun, shoots at one of them, hits him in the shoulder. Luckily, the other Indian was able to pull him to safety.
Well, the wounded Indian made a full recovery. But I'll tell you, those Indians complained to Mr. Bunnell. And Mr. Bunnell went to the Hamilton place to find out the real story of what had happened. Well, Charlie admitted what he had done, but he claimed he'd only done it to scare them a little.
That was such a foolish act. He could have started a war.
Well, fortunately, nothing ever really came of it.
Well, I know Charlie had his moments. He grew up to be a fine young man, became a doctor in Chicago, and died too young, much like your last godchild, Catherine, your Charlie, dying shortly after returning from the Civil War. I'm so grateful you had Orrin with your second husband, Mr. Smith. And anyway, Mr. Hamilton, if you and your business partners would have had their way, Winona would be called Wabasha City.
Well, it wasn't called Wabasha City. It was called Winona. And it has stayed Winona all these years. And there are many, many streets that have their own stories to tell. You know, I personally would like to think that Hamilton Street, for example, was named after both the Reverend Hiram Hamilton and Mr. Edwin Hamilton. Although, truth be told, neither one of you or your families stayed in the area very long.
No, I was young, single, and I did go other places to seek my fortune. I left.
And we moved on to Illinois and then back to Michigan, where the Reverend had previously served congregations.
But I stayed in Winona, living with my youngest son, Orrin Smith. And over the years, I saw many, many streets come into being and be named. They added an Elm Street and an Oak Street to my Walnut. And until I died in 1888, the streets just kept coming into being. And since I died, there have been over 300 named streets in our city. Now we have probably about 360 or so named streets, many of which were named after I died.
So when you travel these lands and you walk the city, think of the names of Hamilton or Walnut or Mark or Howard or Huff or High Forest, and remember these people that walked this land many years ago.
But not Goddard. Anyway, thank you so much for coming. Does anybody have any questions? No, there's no Goddard Street. Well, Catherine lived to be 76, and the life expectancy back then was
like 37 to 40.
So I became a crotchety old lady.
So I think I was a little younger than them, but I
you have to bring that up every time. Any other questions?
Well, you, of course, are buried at Woodlawn.
Yes.
Yes, but neither of them are.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes.
They actually did flee the area. We don't even know a whole lot about what happened to them after that. But in the cemetery, it's actually sort of in the center of the main drag. You go over the bridge, and if you look straight ahead, there's a little cluster of tombstones. Like if you're facing the tree, they're right to the left of the tree. And there's a tombstone that has four sides, and it says Abner, my husband Abner, and Catherine, and Charlie, Charles Goddard, who's pretty well known. There are a number of programs that we've had here at the History Center about Charles Goddard, you know, because he was involved in the Civil War. And one of my other children, whose name escapes me. I had so many of them, and they all died young.
So. Well, I know the lady at the cemetery made a comment that a lot of graves just say baby on them, because the child
right.
died so young, they don't know whose child it was.
But Catherine Goddard lost four children in 4 weeks before she moved to the Winona area.
Yeah.
All of them. Smallpox, I believe. Smallpox and scarlet fever.
Thank you.
Good job.
Oh, kicking us out.
Thanks again to all who made Voices from the Past Cemetery Walk, the street where you live, possible. Tune in next time as we explore more of Winona's history in Part 5. We will learn about Zoyer Boulevard, Drewy Court, and Thurley Homes. More information on the cemetery tour and the Winona History Center can be found at www.winonahistory.org. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.